inside college football. This is the College Football Connection Podcast with Marty Jenkins and Alvin Reed on 101 ESPN.
Welcome in, college football fans. Marty Jenkins here alongside my man Alvin Reed, College Football Connection. We have not been with y'all in a few weeks, but we are glad to be here now as we do this bowl preview. I cannot wait. Alvin, it seems like yesterday we were in here rocking and rolling week one in October. Here we are. It's almost New Year's Day, and we got all the big ones coming up, my man.
Hey, absolutely. And, man, it seems like a day ago I was in Phoenix at the Guaranteed Rate Bowl watching Kansas pull off a big victory over UNLV. I'm back, and I'm happy, man.
Tell us about that trip, man. Oh, I saw the seats you got.
Oh, man, fantastic. Right there in the south end zone, right there in the front. Some members of the team climbed up into the stands after the game. Just a fantastic night on a whirlwind, two-day trip. Man, bowl games are worth it.
Great weather?
Yeah, it was 65, oh, kind of like it was here before, you know, Christmas. Hey, bowl games are worth it, folks out there. And for everybody that talks smack on them, oh, the kids don't play and blah this and blah that. Hey, for the people that are there and for the kids who do play, it's a special few days. And if you ever have a chance to go root for your alma mater or a team you love in a bowl game, and I'm not talking about the Final Four, next year the Final 12, but just whatever little bowl game it is, go to it. You'll have a good time.
Absolutely. All right. Our other third of the Musketeer, Mr. Bradford Bruns, covers MIZ. They face off against the Buckeyes. Lots of players out in this game. It opened at 6.5, down to 3.5. Buckeyes favored. All right, Mr. Bruns, you rolling with your boys here, or are you going with the Buckeyes?
First and foremost, gentlemen, my friends, season's greetings to both of you, and Alvin, a belated congratulations on the Jayhawks getting to 9 victories once more. Exciting stuff. Should be a more than exciting atmosphere when you talk about Arlington tomorrow night, guys, Friday, the Cotton Bowl. And for MIZ, obviously going into this contest, you do have so many unknowns as far as the opposition, the opponents against whom you're going to be lining up, because at present, we still technically don't know if Marvin Harrison Jr., the all-world receiver and likely top 3 pick in next year's NFL draft, is going to play. Ryan Day opted against offering any commentary today. But what did that tell you? He's out there on the stationary bike. He's carrying his helmet. He's not participating in a walkthrough, let alone a practice. For me, guys, I am a little more intrigued, actually, by some of the question marks on the defensive side of the football. And this is why. If you are the Missouri Tigers and you have not played in a game in essentially a month, this is an offense, as helmed by Brady Cook, an arsenal of weapons, we know that, but it's predicated on timing. And if you're a little, let's just say, less than sharp coming out of the gate, you rely on the behemoth in the backfield, Cody Schrader. Now, Cody Schrader going head-to-head against, you would think, at the second level for OSU, none other than the leading tackler there, right? The fifth-year standout in Tommy Eichenberg. We don't know about him either because of the arm injury. Heck, he returned in the regular season finale against Michigan, but is he going to play? You know that in the secondary, Denzel Burke, he could well be NFL-bound, but he will be out there on Friday. For me, it is going to be a question of whether Mizzou can string together sustained enough drives and gouge that second level of the Buckeyes defense, because the secondary, boys, is exceedingly strong. This is a unit that generated, or allowed rather, the fewest passing yards per game for the opposition in the nation. I don't necessarily think Mizzou is going to be able to make as much hay as usual in the vertical game, but there is space to be had, and I'm not betting against Cody Schrader. I haven't all season. I think he is the key to be able to unlock and carry MU to what won't be, I'll say, an unprecedented bowl victory, but one that I still think a lot of fans are skeptical about being able to ascend and meet this challenge. Can you knock off the blue blood under these lights, Jerry's World? I'm thinking yes. I'm thinking it's going to be a whale of a game.
Bradford, you have an over-under feel on this one in addition to taking Mizzou.
Could well get nutty in the second half. I tend to go in that direction with respect to any and all bowl games. So I see this one trending, venturing into the 50s, maybe even upper 50s. So at last check, what? We were talking about OSU, basically 3.5 or so. Give me MIZ, as a matter of fact. by a touchdown, yes, and an over-under total approaching nearly 60.
Okay, Mr. Bruns, rolling with MIZ and the over. And speaking of over, we're about 30 games over 500 for the season. Mr. Alvin Reed and Brad for carrying us last week, especially or a few weeks ago, especially Alvin, who was 10-0 on conference championship week. That is like, that is unheard of. So if you listen to that pod and you roll with Alvin, then you're somewhere in the Bahamas right now, you know, just treating yourself.
Well, Alvin ate in the Bahamas because, man, all the hectic and the holiday. Alvin didn't put a dime on himself. And usually I do. And I'm like, man, so you go 10-0, where you were a winner, whatever, one or two you actually did pick, didn't bet a dime. Oh, man, isn't that the curse?
Wow.
Well, you know how it is.
All right, so Bradford's rolling with Mizzou in the over. So listen, you know, Kyle McCord, Buckeyes quarterback, he's transferred. Alvin, Harrison ain't going to play. Two of the Tigers' top defensive players, they're not playing. I think there's going to be a huge game for Buckeyes running back Travion Henderson. This has gone from 6.5 to 3.5. I've had success going the opposite way with my picks all year. I do think the Buckeyes cover this one. I do agree with Bradford. I think we're going to have a lot of points in this one, Alvin. I think we could be close to the over by halftime, and I think the Buckeyes cover, and I like the over, my man.
Well, I'll tell you what. Until last night when I watched USC play, I had my doubts about Ohio State because USC looked like the kids that were out there actually wanted to play and were excited about playing. And they didn't care who wasn't playing. With that being said, I don't think Ohio State's going to want to play tomorrow.
Oh,
I really don't. I think Missouri covers.
Okay.
And I think we're going on the over.
All right. So you're rolling with MIZ as well.
Yes. I think now the delay, the weeks off, yeah, that's a factor.
Mm-hmm.
But it all comes back to, I just don't think Ohio State has got their heart in this. I think Ohio State is basically moved on to the 2024 season. I also think, and this is one caveat, I will say this. Ryan Day doesn't want to go into next season with a loss to Missouri in the Cotton Bowl.
And we know he holds on to things.
Yeah. So maybe he can inspire his kids. Maybe he can actually do a good job of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Michigan is his bugaboo, but not a Missouri. But with that being said, I am going to take Missouri. I'm going to give it 3.5 points, and I think we're going over.
All right. Alvin tries to keep the hot streak going. Let's move to the semis real quick. Perhaps the most intriguing game of the entire bowl slate. Michigan, 1.5 point favorites over Alabama. It's at 44.5, not many points. A couple of really good defenses in this contest. Mr. Bruns, who are you rolling with in this game that's a damn near pick 'em?
Well, you know, if you've listened to the College Football Connection for the duration of the season, all of our fans out there, it's been all about that Roll Tide for me, and I'm not going to deviate from the Crimson Tide on this occasion. Guys, I've said it on countless occasions in the past. If you give a Nick Saban ample time, and yes, a month plus would qualify as ample time, to prepare for an opponent, even a team the likes of which Michigan has produced, has showcased this season, I am going with Saban, his unit, 10 times out of 10. And for me, the transformation, the growth we have seen from his quarterback, the much maligned Milroe at the beginning of this season, thinking of where he was and how he has evolved in the back half of this year, not just as that dual threat, the classic dual threat. This is a man who is capable of beating you over the top as well, and he has progressively improved that much more week in and week out as far as reading opposing defenses. Jesse Minter, the defensive coordinator for the Wolverines, has his hands full in the biggest of ways, because if you do not do a good enough job of applying pressure from the interior, that stout Michigan defensive line, and you allow Milroe to get outside of the pocket, flush him out, get him out into space in the open field, I don't know how even a ballyhooed defense such as Michigan is going to be able to keep pace with that. In this contest, I think quite frankly, because of the explosiveness that you have on both sides, to me that point total all told, it is a little low. I do expect this one to approach the 50s in Alabama. I'm going with Bama straight up. In the fourth quarter, you're going to see that defense show its mettle. You're going to see the cohesiveness in this group that has won 10 straight and done nothing but ascend since that early loss to Texas.
Well, I'm actually going to co-sign on that before I throw over to Alvin here. I am actually rolling with the Tide and the over as well. I just think Michigan, I think that offense is a little too one-dimensional. I think Bama's defense is going to shut them down. And throughout the year, you know, McCarthy, he hasn't been in any big games for Michigan because they've blown everybody out. You know, he hasn't had to lead them on any big-time drives, you know, when the pressure's on. The games have all been blowouts. I really think Bama runs away with this one. I hope it's a good game, but I don't think it's going to be. And I think it's going to be the over as well, Alvin.
I believe it's going to be the over as well. Okay, I'm being stick in the mud. And here's why. The world wants to see Michigan lose. Mm-hmm. The NCAA, we think, wants to see Michigan lose. What's the game that everybody will watch? It is not a Texas-Alabama rematch. It is not. We've played that game.
Uh-huh.
How about we put Michigan in the national championship game? And we have the villain versus whoever comes out of Texas and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michigan prevails. Somehow, some way, I think Michigan wins this football game. I am going to go with the over, and I'm going to take Michigan. Now, Michigan, you know, I've got giving two on Alabama. Michigan might lose by 1 point. I still win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it could come down to be as close as that. But I'm going to go with Michigan. And as I think Michigan's strategy should be to run Alabama over, to physically whip
Wear them down.
Okay. Say this is going to be a four-quarter game, and we're better than you. I don't care what anybody says. And when we were all up in arms because Florida State did not get into the Final Four, okay, who was the team that was not really supposed to be there of those four?
Mm-hmm.
And that was Alabama.
Right.
And I don't care what you say about Alabama, there was a reason that they were not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think if Auburn's defensive coordinator had a brain in his head, Alabama would not be playing in this game. So I'm good. All right. Y'all, everybody get on the Alabama bandwagon. How good is Alabama? If they prove me wrong, they prove me wrong. I'm going with Michigan, and I'm going with the over.
All right, Alvin, we're all rolling with the over. Alvin rolling with the Big Ten on this one. How about the other semi? Bradford, Washington, fantastic story this year. They were big underdogs in the Pac-12 title game. They are 4.5-point underdogs in this one. Are you taking the dogs against the Longhorns here, Bradford, to cover that 4.5?
I was very adamant, Marty, before the rematch between Oregon and Washington, the final version of the Pac-12 as we know it championship game, that the Huskies were not getting their just due. I still believe that to be the case. For Texas to be a favorite by 4.5 points, 4.5 points, I just don't see it transpiring coming out on the end, the favorable end, for the Longhorns here. It's a very intriguing matchup when you pit strength versus strength, and it is an Alamo Bowl rematch from a year ago. Here's what I'm looking at, though, guys. I'm looking at Michael Penix Jr. I'm looking at his ability to rise to the occasion in big spots, and also an underrated aspect of his game. I truly believe this, the mobility, the ability to avoid the big hit, the big sack. He's only been taken down 11 times this season, guys, and a lot of that also is due in large part to the big guys up front. How much did we hear before this campaign even commenced as the season got going? Texas, yes, Ewers, of course, was orchestrating that offense and really allowing that to grow by leaps and bounds. But the interior alignment over and over again, and it is a strong, firm narrative. We're not talking enough about the protection afforded to Michael Penix, courtesy of this offensive line. It won the nation's best O-line award, the Joe Moore Honors, for a reason. Penix is going to stay both upright and have the ability to get the ball downfield, to get it out quickly, the intermediate stuff. He'll take enough shots vertically over the top to challenge the Longhorn secondary. I think that's where they are, guys, the most susceptible on defense. I'm not betting against Washington. In fact, in this instance, I'm betting on Washington to win this one straight up. Points galore. Give me the over once more. The Huskies, they have to get their credit finally because they're going to the national championship.
All right. Mr. Bruns, can you stay with us a few more minutes or you got to get going, buddy? I know you're busy.
Let's do it. Let's run through it. Let's dash.
Okay, give us 1 second here. Alvin, are you with Bradford on that one?
I am going to take Texas in that game. I have no reason why. No, actually, you know, I think they are pretty good. I think Washington can score enough points to win, but I think Texas can slow them down at one point. But as I said, I'm picking Texas to win, but I'm not giving 4.5 points. I'm picking the Huskies to cover.
Okay.
And I like Bradford. I got to go with this over on this one.
Okay.
I do.
All right, Alvin, rolling with UW and the over.
And you got it at 4.5, right?
I do.
All right, yes. I want my 4.5 from Texas.
I love what Washington has done this year. They've been actually probably the story of the college football season, one of the big ones. I just think there's way too much talent on UT's side. There's NFL players all over. But the best player on the field is Michael Penix Jr. But still, I got to go with Texas in this one. And I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I am going to go with Texas in this one and the under. Speaking of high-scoring affair, Ole Miss, they play Penn State. We know Ole Miss can light it up on the scoreboard. Will they do that, Bradford? Or do you think Penn State's vaunted defense will keep them in check?
I do believe in the vaunted Nittany Lions defense to hold the Lane Train relatively in check, but I'm liking the vibes actually stemming from Lane and company entering this contest. It really is, to me, in a lot of regards, guys, a relatively even matchup on paper. And with Penn State being favored by just a few on this occasion, I actually will go against the grain a little bit. I think Ole Miss is able to muster just enough offense to stay in the game. It's going to be in question well into the second half, in my opinion. So Ole Miss, while maybe not being able to do the thing as far as winning straight up, I will go with Kiffin's crew to be able to win against the spread here. Although, whereas when we're talking about the other games, when we've discussed the aforementioned contest, I went with the over here. I really do think that it's going to be a muck it up, grind it out sort of affair from start to finish. So Ole Miss, kind of begrudgingly, but going down with that point figure.
Big Ten or SEC, Alvin?
Big Ten.
Okay.
Not that I have a whole lot of faith in Penn State, but they have a great defense, or at least a very good defense. And I think they can hold Ole Miss down for much of the game. I'll tell you what. I think Penn State covers barely.
Okay.
But we're going under the 48.5.
Well, I will co-sign on that, Alvin. I am taking Penn State and the under as well in this contest. Penn State and the under, folks. We mentioned Florida State, who should have been in the Final Four. One of the worst days in college football history, Alvin.
Right. They're lucky they're going to 12 or else they'd wear that forever. But, yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They would wear that forever, and they still may wear that forever.
Well, yeah, all these lawsuits and all this going on, yeah. It ain't done yet.
Nope.
Right?
Well, this is at 14. To start, 19.5 now. Everybody and their grandma betting on Georgia. Who you rolling with, Bradford?
You know that I'm going with those dogs, despite what we saw in the SEC title game. Hey, Florida State, for all of the bluster and all of the bravado, the talk that maybe if things play out our way and everybody else gets knocked off, beats up on one another, we could raise a national championship banner down there in Florida. Please give me a break. The fact of the matter here is that the Seminoles are going to be missing 19 players in this game for one reason or another. Injuries, opt-outs, transfer portal. Think about that. 19 for crying out loud. And you've got Brock Glenn going out there and talking about how, oh, well, we could well hang a banner at the end of the day. Georgia may not be particularly motivated to the utmost extent, but would that really be any different than the body of work that we saw during the first month of the season? I think that the Bulldogs are able to get it done. I did have some reservations about going with Georgia plus 20 or so, but I'll do it because I simply think that Florida State is due for such a massive, massive blow here, a letdown. The collective fan base, probably will be shocked at the sheer beating that is going to be administered by Kirby Smart, who is smarting having lost to Nick Saban in that title game.
All right, Alvin, who you like, my man?
Well, you know what? You would think that Georgia, like, let's really put one on them. And I just kind of feel like Georgia's kind of looking at them saying, like, I think you got jammed, and I think we got jammed, and I'm not really mad at you.
I agree.
But it's the number of players that aren't playing for Florida State. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just, man, as much as I want to think they could cover that spread, I just, you know what?
I'm thinking the exact same thing you are.
I'm just thinking, like, come on, man. They'll come within, what? How many are we talking
19 and a half.
I just think Florida State will come within 19 and a half.
And those backups are all four-star guys, you know?
I just think they will.
I do, too.
You know, and that's all I'm saying about that. I mean, I just think they will. And I think we'll end up over 44-5 because I think Florida State will find a way to score some points.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. I get it. I understand why the point spread is that bad. But at the same time, lessons learned, okay? I don't think that the committee wants to look back and say, like, well, see, we told you so. Because you can't say that because they got 20 kids not playing. The way to redeem yourself, NCAA, is to watch Florida State go out here and put up a fight. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all right, I'm gonna take my points.
You know, I battled with this one for a while too, Alvin, but you know what it comes down to? You said Ohio State's not going to be motivated. I'm not sure how motivated Georgia's going
to
be.
I don't think they're motivated to blow anybody out.
Yeah. And there's enough players, I think, on Florida State to hang within three touchdowns
right,
almost.
Or, okay, I did decide to play in this bowl game, okay?
Yeah.
And I am a starter next year. And we do have a 21 points.
Blood gets flowing. Let's
rock and roll. How about I not play anymore, coach?
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, I'm thinking like, man, if I break my leg and we're up 24 points, I broke my leg and we were up 24 points, mm-hmm. right? You know, so I'll stick with Florida State. They'll cover.
I'm going with Florida State, and I'm very intrigued. I'm going with Florida State in the under on this contest. And finally, and I'm all about the little guy, but I'm not even going to dissect this game. Bradford, Liberty got by a ton of teams this year who aren't even good by single digits. I think Oregon blows them out of the water in this one, and I'm going with the over as well, my friend.
Give me Liberty, or what are we saying here, guys? Give them death, because even though the Flames actually have the best rushing attack in all of college football, when you're going to be down by multiple scores within the first few minutes of the game, in all likelihood, it will go down as irrelevant. Hey, we've talked a lot during the portion of this podcast about teams, about specific players, programs, who or that may or may not be motivated, right? Bo Nix, for one, the man at the helm of the Oregon attack, he has a lot of different individual NCAA and Oregon-specific records out there for the taking. Now, he didn't come away with the ultimate prize as far as Heisman consideration. He didn't come home with that prohibitive hardware that maybe he would have expected with a few weeks remaining in the regular season. But this opportunity to absolutely slice and dice the Liberty defense, you're talking about two teams that are in different stratospheres here. With all due respect to what Liberty accomplished this season, there's no way that from a pacing standpoint, this team can keep up with Oregon for four quarters, for a half, for a single 15-minute session. It doesn't matter. Any way you dissect this affair, there really isn't a lot to dissect in this instance. It's Oregon in a runaway, and I feel so much more comfortable, Marty and Alvin, about taking Oregon and the points here as opposed to the previous contest. And having said all of that, if you're giving me right now a projected over-under of around 70 approaching that, I'm sorry, but Liberty, even in garbage time, isn't going to put enough on the scoreboard to account for that. So barely, I will take the under, too.
You think they can make this game, Alvin?
No, I do not. Okay. This is the one that, you know, if I had done one of those progressive ones where you rate the games, you know, with the highest number, just picking winners, the highest, which one do you have the most confidence in?
This one.
It was this one. Okay. After Oregon lost two games, they lost both of them to Washington. All right. Both of them good games, okay? They flash up Fiesta Bowl. Okay, Phoenix, Liberty. All right. Remember that speech Dan Lanning gave before the Colorado game, he'll tell his kids, you know why they gave us Liberty? Because they want Liberty to come out here and save America, baby, by beating them liberal softy guys from Oregon. And he's going to tell them, like, you know what? We out here to put a stomping on somebody, and they're going to stomp Liberty. I am sorry. Oh, my gosh. You know what? When they were dicing and slicing up the games and carrying on, when that one came out, I said, like, man, y'all did Liberty wrong. Because you put them up against the one team that's going to be motivated to put about 80 points on somebody. Bo Nix is playing in this game? Are you kidding me? Bo Nix didn't come back from New York disappointed because he knew he wasn't going to win in the first place. But Bo Nix came back saying, like, man, I got another game to play. Okay. Yeah, Liberty. Okay. Right. I want all my boys to score a touchdown. Right.
So you're going with Oregon?
I'm going Oregon. And, man, I'm sorry. I think they're going to beat them down so bad they cover at 67-5.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Ooh. I agree.
Right. Liberty, Bradford, you said it best. Different stratospheres. And Oregon wants to play. Oregon ain't got a whole bunch of defections. Oregon ain't got a whole bunch of people transferring.
Yep.
Oregon's going to trot their team out there. Liberty going to have about 20 fans.
Hey, Bradford, I know you got to get going, man. I just want to thank you for hopping on with us this year. You've been fantastic. Lots of positive feedback. Everybody loved listening to you. You were great with your picks this year. I know you got to run, man, but I just want to thank you for being on the pod with us this year.
Guys, it is such a pleasure. Seriously, the pleasure is mine having been able to get back in the mix with you two gentlemen, doing it for the duration of the season. And something tells me that as the next college season, athletics really ramps up in the way of hoops hardcourt, we may just have a surprise or two in store for the audience as well. But it's always a pleasure. Thank you guys so much and have a great one.
Thanks, Bradford. Nice tease there, by the way. Nice, nice tease, my man. Bradford Bruns at Game of Bruns on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Nice tease. Alvin, we'll stop with college football. All right, I'm going to transition into this. I didn't think it was physically possible for an NBA team to damn near lose 30 games in a row. I didn't think it was physically possible.
I didn't think it was possible either. I agree with you. I thought that, like, I don't think you could lose 27 straight games without winning a game. Never mind the other team or anything like that. You know how the NBA is. Now, granted, now you're to the point where nobody wants to lose to them, so they're actually putting forth some effort to not lose to them. But I didn't think that was possible. I thought, you've got 12 NBA players. We've got 12 NBA players. We'll win a game at some point here before it got to 27.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. By the way, there's like of the most bet games.
Tonight.
Over the last 2 weeks have been Pistons games.
Yeah. And tonight, more money has been put in Vegas on the Pistons' money line tonight, and I don't understand this, to win at Boston tonight.
But you thinking like Boston just won't play? Now, I'm all over Pistons covering because I think it's like 14.5 or something like that.
Which is a lot for NBA.
Yeah, it's a lot for NBA. I'm all over Pistons covering. I don't think they're going to win because nobody wants to be that team. Now I'd have to see like, oh, just tonight, you know, Jason ain't playing, and Jalen ain't playing, and they, you know, like we basically are going to play our second string against their first string. Well, that would be different, but no, nobody wants to be that team. I actually think Detroit will win their next home game.
I don't know who that's against.
I don't either.
Surprise
but
me.
I thought they went on the road, and I think they got 2 or 3 on the road. And I think when they come back, it might be 30, but they'll come back. I think they'll win that game.
I can't stand, like, and it's happened with the Saints back in the day, like the fans wearing the trash bags. And it's like in the stands. It's like they're out there giving their all, man.
But that's not directed at them. That's directed at ownership and where the whole.
That's true, but you saw Kate Cunningham. He was in damn near tears when they were chanting the other night. You see that?
Well, but I mean, like, look, man, if they're yelling sell the team, they say it's sell me. They say it's sell the team.
That's true. That's
right.
True.
If I played on a horrible, horrible team and we had lost that many games, okay, I would be very, very inspired to win, play 48 hard minutes, all that. But the fact that we were losing that many games, and I was actually, you know, a decent player doing what I could, you know, yeah, I hope we win. I hope they trade me. I hope I my 22 points and 6 rebounds a game gets me traded to the Boston Celtics.
One more thing before we sign off here. Let's go to the diamond real quick, because what happened with Ohtani is just they're going to have to rewrite some stuff and how they get – because that's absurd.
That's absurd. I don't think you can backload anything like that until you'll be paying him. But, all right, let's revisit this at the All-Star break. You know, Ohtani's hitting 280 with 14 home runs and 35 RBI, and our other guy armed and fell off. You know, hey, people are looking at it like every player, everything is going to work out for the Dodgers. It never works like that. Just heed my words out there.
I see where you're coming from. If there's any sport where you just
it don't matter
what's on paper,
right? And if you want to invest that much money in a baseball team and any individual baseball game, That's why I don't play baseball, man. Now, you know what I'm saying? I don't make any wagers on baseball.
It don't matter if a team's minus 400 or 500. It's still a coin flip.
It's coin flip, right? Who pitches tonight? Who's pitching tonight?
Kind of
like Cardinals
hockey.
Open out there. They're going to kick this whole thing off, okay? Against the Dodgers on the road. I think it's a 4-game series. I'd say the Cardinals come back with at least 2 wins.
Ooh, at least?
At least 2 wins. I don't know what we're sending out there. All I know is they'll have on the road uniforms, and they'll be looking at each other and say, like, hey, let's spoil this party. And the whole National League is going to be thinking, hey, let's spoil this party.
Cardinals going to come out there with brooms, huh?
Yeah, but just the whole National League especially is going to be saying, like, y'all going to win 130 games, huh? Okay, all right. Y'all ain't winning tonight.
Yeah.
Right. Every soon as something starts, like over there in that American League, they wasn't throwing the ball at Ohtani. Man, they'll light his ass up. Like it's on. Every National League team is saying like, oh, okay. Oh, all right. All right. You're going to be paying – you'll get a $1 billion payroll. Well, guess what? We got the baseball and we got some bats and some gloves. Let's go out here and play.
Greatest team ever assembled. You know everybody's going to come motivated
Big
for those
time.
Games.
Big time. Alvin, you're starting tonight. I'm going to give you 6 good innings.
I'm going to sweat.
Blood. Right. I was like, man, how did you get them guys out for 5 innings? I was like, that team, no, they weren't going to ring me up. I think they'll run into that.
I can't wait to find out.
You, God bless Ohtani. God bless his other kid that's coming over here. They ain't never been under no gun. Ohtani, they eliminated before the season half start. Yeah. They out there just playing baseball. They ain't had to ever play no real baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to play some real baseball over here.
Mm-hmm.
You think the Giants want to hear it? You think the Padres want to hear it? You think the Cardinals want to hear it? You think the Mets, the Phillies? Man, please. It'd be looking like football out there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. International guys. Woo! I make how much money? Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. I'm telling you.
For a rude awakening.
Yeah, rude awakening. I'm telling you.
I can't wait to see what happens. Capital A, capital R-E-I-D, Jayhawks. That is Mr. Alvin Reed on Twitter and X. Alvin, this is the third year we've done this. Smooth as butter, man. I appreciate everything you bring to this podcast. It's been a joy, and I can't wait in a few weeks. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we kick off the College Basketball Connection, maybe sprinkle in some NBA.
Oh, absolutely, man. Got to go to that round ball now, baby.
Absolutely. Appreciate all you guys listening throughout the season so much. And Alvin, enjoy the games this weekend, and I will text you during the games. And be safe out there tonight, Alvin. I heard we got snow all night.
Oh, well, hey, I'll be safely in my domicile in about a half.
All right, my man, take care.
All right, man.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the College Football Connection Podcast with Marty Jenkins and Alvin Reed on 101 ESPN Sports Talk for St. Louis.